Blog Talk Radio.
They think dominant football, and here we are. Let's go home and do what we gotta do. This is the hell. This is the hell. This is the hell. I'm taking on three. 1, 2, 3. Touchdown.
They wanted the show. We're gonna put on a show face. Yeah, that's one thing we're gonna do, fight.
I'm loving it. I am on board. This is a playoff team. That's it. That's bottom line, baby.
Playoffs?
Playoffs.
Playoffs.
You talking about practice?
No way. Playoffs? The Bills?
Yeah, wow. Baby. Don't that sound right?
Man, what a huge win. I mean, today is what you call a momentum win. What I mean by this is this a win like this can define the character of a whole team going forward. A whole team, especially on the road. This is a statement win. And just to think, if Jones catches that ball versus Carolina, we're possibly looking at a 4-0 team with two big road games wins.
We should be. There's no reason why we shouldn't be a 4-0 team right now.
But the question we got to ask ourselves after a win like this, from what we saw today, this is obviously going to be the strategy going forward, offensively and defensively. What I mean by that is offensively, our running game got going a little bit better today. I felt a little bit better about the running game today, but I also thought going into this game, our running game would be a little bit more effective against Atlanta's free-flowing defense. But the defense, I was kind of worried about our defense going against Julio Jones doing that receiving core, but obviously we do as we realize that they lost to Newton Jones both by the third quarter. Which, I mean, let's not downplay that. That helped tremendously.
Because he was tearing it up. They know it about it. I mean, he was being Julio, and they were targeting him a lot. If he was around that last half of the game, it could be a whole different ball game we're talking about right now.
Especially on third down.
They didn't have Sanu either, I believe. I believe Sanu was on.
Yeah.
Top two targets. So,
now, I was kind of confused when Sanu got hurt. Did he get hurt before halftime when he scored the touchdown? Or maybe,
I'm not sure.
Is that the point he got hurt at? Because I didn't see when he went out.
I'm not too sure myself, to be honest with you. I'm not too sure myself. I'll be honest. All I know is that he was out.
Now, I know today we lost Cole Anderson. We also lost Humber today, as well as who else went out? Somebody, Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, with
we
a
lost
thumb injury,
Keith,
I think it was.
Yeah, I think Humber and Matthews both went out with thumbs. And Cole Anderson, I forgot, I think he went out with shoulder or something, but we lost them both today. Tough losses. Hopefully going forward we'll get them back healthy. Because like I said, one thing I did notice today, this team lacks a little bit of depth. But I tell you what, Matt Milano came in today, and we didn't miss much.
No, he played very well. Preston played well. Milano played well. The linebacking corps played well. Very happy. They were able to shut down Freeman and Kevin Coleman for the most part. Yeah, no, they were busting out a couple big ones, so would end every now and then. But, I mean, for the most part, we – help them in check. We did. I like what I saw from my linebacking core.
You know what? Tevin Coleman Tevin Coleman's going to be a starter somewhere within the next 2 years. That I can guarantee, because the Falcons are not going to be able to pay, and we're not going to pay to keep him. There's no way. Yeah. And someone, just watching him today, he's a home run hitter. And he had, when he touched the ball, I was more fearful with him in the ball in hand than Devontae Freeman.
Yeah, he reminds me of a Mike Gillisley. Every time he touches, it's just, I feel like there's a chance he can go all the way.
I got to agree with you there. I got to agree with you there. And, I mean, his speed is incredible. I mean, he's 0 to 100. I mean, like, bam. It's fast.
He can catch out of that backfield. He is a threat to catch out of that backfield. He's everything you want. He's everything you want in a player. Everything you want in a running back of this caliber.
So, I guess, first thing I want to touch on tonight is going to be the player, the second, 2 weeks in a row here, we have had an ultra-efficient Tyrod Taylor. Now, I know I'm on record. I'm a Tyrod guy. And I know you're a Tyrod guy. But I also realize that we've both been on record of saying Tyrod is not a franchise quarterback. So let's cool the jets, people. Let's not jump on us. We don't feel he's a franchise quarterback, but we do feel that he's a quarterback that you can win games with.
Exactly.
How do you feel about the play calling?
You know, I was just on one of the Bills groups. Like, I can't remember whether it was the Stampede or the Fanatics. I was just on one of the Bills groups talking about Tyrod's play. I personally think he had a good game. I think the play calling was open for him. I think they really involved the play action and got him out on rollouts, which is what I wanted to see from the get-go. Play to his strength. You wanted to unleash Tyrod. Play to his strength. Have him roll out on play action and make plays either with his arm or his legs. Again, I said it from the get-go. This year, he looks very hesitant to run the ball. He looks way more dedicated on throwing. And
correct.
That's a good sight. It's a very good sight. That's what we want to see from him. Again, you said it best. We're Tyrod guys, but we're honest. We understand. I don't think Tyrod is the future guy for us. I mean, I would love it to be that scenario because I am a big Tyrod fan. But going forward, I think there is going to be a change at quarterback coming sooner than later. Obviously, so with the offseason. This is Tyrod's season. And, I mean, he's been efficient. I can't sit here and say anything wrong with him. I mean, today, watching the game live, I was just very impressed on how he was finding Charles Clay early and often. And out of the normality, seeing him convert on third down, you know, I'm so used to it being third down and saying, okay, we're going to either punt or we're going to kick a field goal. That's it. And he converts on long downs. So,
correct.
I have nothing but good things to say about Tyrod going forward. A very favorable matchup for him with Cincinnati. I think he can pick apart that defense soon. So we'll see. We'll see what he gives. We'll see what he provides. Because we can win games with him. You said it best. We can win games with him. There is no doubt about it. You put a defense behind them, and I don't see the difference between a guy like Tyrod and Russell Wilson. I just don't. I'm sorry. I'm not convinced. You put Tyrod with a great defense like what we have right now, and I cannot tell the difference between the Bills and what Seattle did the year they won.
You know, I'm going to give you a name, and this is going back to last week. We've constantly heard the name Trevor Siemian linked to Buffalo with Tyrod Taylor for the simple fact that obviously, we know that the Broncos have required to trade for Tyrod Taylor multiple times.
Yep.
And that Siemian names were brought up. And I've also seen Siemian name a lot of Bills fans saying, hey, why don't we get this guy? He's a quarterback. Let me just break something down real quick before we dig deep into this Falcon game. There are a handful of elite quarterbacks in this NFL. A handful. Okay? Brady, Rodgers, Roethlisberger, Luck, Breeze. And if I left somebody off, please forgive me. But those are your
top-tier.
You're going to
get heat for saying Luck. You're going to get Heat
you know
fan
what?
Luck. I'll tell you
can't
that right
leave
now.
Luck off
like
the list.
Luck. I don't. I agree with you. I do think when Luck is healthy and has an offensive line behind him, I think he's elite. We just haven't seen it. But I'm just letting you know, you are going to get some heat for that one, bro.
Hey, I will take the heat, but what I can say about Luck is he's been in two AFC championship games.
Yeah.
But the problem is, but in my defense of a player like Andrew Luck, I bring up Drew Brees and Phillip Rivers. Because Phillip Rivers, he's just getting to the point now where he's no longer elite and ages catch up with him. But I've seen these guys lose for years while being elite now. Why?
Mm-hmm.
The same reason I see someone like Trevor Siemian be able to go out there and win. Because a quarterback cannot just win you a game. You got to have the team around them.
Yeah.
You got to have the team around them. Does it help and does it mask a lot of things? Yes, it does. But last year, we as fans, we jumped on Tyrod a lot. When the Bills were putting up 28 points in the game.
Yeah. And he's doing
and
what
losing.
The offense is asking him to do.
Right. And say it's no what we needed Tyrod to do last year is no different than what we're asking him to do this year. Actually, to be honest with you, I feel like with the way Dennison is calling plays, we're actually asking him to do less.
Yeah. Yeah.
We broke things down and we simplified it. And it's working. But I want to talk about the offensive line. Definitely want to talk about the offensive line.
Huge,
the offensive line had a lot better game today.
Yeah, very big. Shout out to Dawkins, man. Shout out to Dawkins. What a game, dude. What a game from Deion, man. It was beautiful to see, man. Very beautiful to see.
Definitely. Definitely good game from Dawkins. Actually, I saw a player, too, where he pancaked Don Terry Poe on one of the runs. I don't know if anybody else saw that, but I hope you did, if you could catch it. But, yeah, he pancaked Don Terry Poe. Put him right on his ass.
Yeah, baby.
And we another shout to Richie Incognito. I don't even know if Richie got one penalty today.
No, yeah, that was interesting. I didn't see too much holding on the offense. I didn't see too much of anything, especially not on Richie's side. I didn't. I'm trying to think about it. I haven't seen it.
I saw the one on Eric Wood. I didn't see too much. We didn't get a lot of flags today, which was huge. That was huge. We didn't have a lot of things come back. You know, I like the fact, too, that we continue to go to Zay Jones. We're not going away from him. But I don't know if you noticed in that game, there were a lot of situations where Kalen Clay was in the game and Zay Jones was on the field.
Yeah.
And a lot of bunch formation.
I've been seeing this guy a lot lately. There's something about him they like because I've been seeing him on the field quite a bit. And he had a chance for a touchdown today. He had a chance for a touchdown. Beat the corner off the press. Zoomed out, had to beat him off by a step, and just couldn't get to the ball. It was just a little too far out, which was, it could have been a little more accurate on Tyrod's part, but it was there for
could
him.
Could have been a penalty as well, because Trufant definitely
yeah,
grabbed a hold of him.
Yeah, he definitely did. But I ain't going to say too much, because we got away on, because Trey White got away on a hold on that last play, so.
I won't get too mad. Yeah, we'll keep quiet on it, but no, yeah. Definitely, they're definitely putting Clay on the field a little bit more. I saw him in there maybe about three or four times on third and second downs on bunch formations, and Zay Jones was off the field. So I don't know if they'll lose a little bit of confidence in Zay, but hopefully not because they need to let the rookie play through it. I think Zay's going to be good, but he's struggling mentally a little bit. I think it may be similar to a Nelson Aguilar situation last year with the Eagles.
Yeah, I mean he.
Like I said,
I'm not upset with him either. You know, like I'm seeing a lot of negativity go towards him. I mean, let's not forget this is a rookie we're talking about. Obviously, we want him to play. He's making his money. We got to see him perform. He had a beautiful catch today on a comeback route. That Tyrod zipped right into his numbers, and to the numbers you got to grab it. But it was still a little diving catch. It was nice on his part. You know, I was happy to see that. I expect him to get better and better as time goes on, and he'll find his itch, he'll find his rhythm. I'm not worried too much about Zay. Jordan Matthews being out, that is something I am a little worried about.
Yeah. That's definitely, I mean, hopefully this is nothing long-term. But like I said, we are lacking a little bit of depth.
Yeah.
We are lacking depth at that position. Now, a lot of positions we're lacking depth at. I mean, over time, when you become a good franchise, that's what good franchises have. They build depth. And we're going to get to that point. Like I said, you know, going back to the catch by Zay Jones, that was a beautiful catch, a beautiful play. And I'm thinking going forward, that may be the catch to get him out of his groove, get him out of that slump, you know what I mean? Get him going again.
Yeah.
Because the kid is open a lot. He's in the right spot. He runs his routes right. He just got to get the ball. And I don't see a lack of confidence from Taylor going to him. Either.
No,
so that's
Taylor
a good thing
looks
as well.
Confident going to him. That's a very good note on your part. Tyrod has gone to him. It's not something where he's saying, all right, yeah, this guy is just not going to catch anything I throw to him. Let me just go to somebody else. He still looks confident throwing to him. Let's not forget, Zay is a very, very, very talented young man. He will find his niche. These are just growing pains through mental errors where it's just in his head. I just got to get one. Hopefully that last one he caught is the one to say, all right, come on, let's get this going. I can do this. Because you're right, he is open a lot. Very open.
He's definitely open. As far as his play calling, now, I like throughout this game, I love the play calling throughout this game, except when we got to the fourth quarter. I think we
only
played
3 minutes.
Once again,
preach it.
Just like the Bronco game, I felt like, once again, in the Jets game as well, we get into this group, we're playing not to lose instead of keep hitting the gas pedal.
Preach
and I thought
it,
today that it may come back and bite us in the ass.
Yeah. I thought we were going to lose. I'm not going to lie to you. It was in my head, again, as a Bills fan, we're so used to it. I'm just sitting at the bar. And I'm just with my fingers crossed saying, oh, my God, here we go again. A fourth quarter comeback for Matt Ryan, and we're going to lose the game. But we didn't. So I'm very happy. But you hit it right on the nail, brother. It's conservative play calling to the end, playing not to lose instead of playing to win. Put your foot down on their throat and play for the first down. Micah Hyde with the interception. Runs it all the way to damn near, what, 35, 40?
30, yeah.
With 3 minutes left. That's it. That's your shot. That should have been game over. That should have been the ball game. You get a first down, they run their timeouts, you kneel down. That's it. But instead of winning comfortable, we got to win on edge. And it has a lot to do with play calling, man. Let Tyrod throw. Let the man throw the ball. He was finding Clay all day long. Let him put the game in his hands. That's how you find out what kind of quarterback you have in Tyrod. You put the game in his hands instead of giving it to McCoy. Let Tyrod throw, man. I was furious.
Like I said, luckily we pulled that out at the end, but like I said, the conservative play calling definitely could have ended up having a losing Monday instead of a winning Monday. So it's very close.
Cool.
You're talking about within yards.
Imagine if they had Julio and Sanu on that last drive. Come on, man. We got to be better than that. We got to be better than that. When opportunities come like that, we got to go, man. We're not going to be fortunate enough to have the top damn performers for the game out. You know, there's going to be a time with a healthy team, 3 minutes left, and we're in position to win. And you got to give Tyrod the keys. And let him win the game for you, man. I'm tired of this conservative play calling at the end of the game. We got to get better than that. Anderson has to get better than that.
No, definitely, definitely, definitely correct. You know, I want to stop and talk about Charles Clay a little bit here. And he has been, obviously, the main target so far this season, I would say, throughout the passing game. I mean, and today we've paid big dividends. This is the Charles Clay that when Doug Whaley signed him to that deal, we thought we were getting. Now, I've been on record of saying, hey, this is not Clay. This is not on Clay. This is on the play calling. This is on the play calling and on the quarterback not finding when he's open. I know you've been on record saying that.
Yeah.
So can we put the bed that, hey, it's not Charles Clay and his ability, but at just the last two seasons was the play calling?
You can. You can very well go that route. Look, I've seen, and people go back, and I've seen a lot of the complaints go even to Tyrod, saying, well, we don't have the kind of quarterback who can hit him. I've seen Tyrod and Clay connect numerous times throughout their tenure here for great, for awesome plays. You know, it's not a Tyrod thing. It wasn't a Charles Clay thing. It's a play calling thing. Give your offense the right style of play. Call the right plays, trust your quarterback, and move the ball. Tyrod will do it. Tyrod will find Clay often. That's his guy. He doesn't have Sammy anymore, so he looks to his next guy, which is Charles Clay. Find him. He does. It was a play-calling thing, man. It's a play-calling thing. We got it. We finally got somebody in who could throw the play call. And honestly, I want to see more of Nick O'Leary. I want to see more of Nick O'Leary because I'm a huge Nick O'Leary fan. I think we didn't need to go out and make no moves to try and bring in Barnage or anybody else or another top wide receiver. Nick O'Leary is amazing. I mean, I don't know why people don't give him enough credit. That man makes plays, and when he has the ball in his hands, he's going to put one defender on his ass running with that ball.
You know what?
That's a big boy.
Very underrated blocker as well.
Yeah.
Very, very underrated blocker. Nick O'Leary is a very good player. I've watched Nick O'Leary since he was at Florida State, me being a Florida State fan.
Yeah.
He's a gamer. He's a ball player. He's going to come in. He's going to break. He's going to put his hard hat on, and he's going to work. Nick O'Leary does. But, so, we didn't have Shaq Lawson today. We lost Ramon Humber. Yet we were still able to keep our defense together. Lorenzo Alexander, he played a damn good game. Special teams defense, he's solid as normal. Defensive front four, I thought they did an amazing job stopping the run game. There was a couple big plays here and there, but I think they did a good job of stopping the run game. And actually, they didn't get a lot of sacks on Ryan, but they made that pocket collapse a lot, forcing him to rush the pass.
Yeah, and they set their edges nice, too. They really set the edge nice. You know, obviously, you're not – when you're facing a duo like Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman, it's harder, you know, to get that done. But you're going to allow some plays. They're just too talented. They're going to get open sometimes. They're going to break out. But they set the edge nice, and they stuffed the run well. I was very happy with the defensive line. But again, you want to see more sacks. You want to see them – put the quarterback on his ass, but I was very satisfied with what I saw.
How did you feel about Eddie Yarbrough? I thought Yarbrough had a very quiet, but very effective game.
Yeah, he did. He did, man. He was a hard man to block. And I was a little frustrated with him when he blocked that pass from Matt Ryan late in the game. I thought he could have just grabbed it right out of the air, but again, it's easier said than done, you know. But he's efficient. He's very efficient, very good pickup for us. And, I mean, it's unexpected, too. I mean, we didn't know who this guy was last year. We didn't know anything about this kid. He comes in, he balls out, man. You know?
Right.
So when,
I mean,
when – go ahead.
Did you notice – in that last fourth quarter, they had Yarbrough, did you notice that – we shifted defensive front as far as we shifted Yarbrough out past the left tackle on the outside shoulder. We shifted the Kyle Williams over the left straight or left guard. We shifted either Darius or Worthy between the center and the left guard. But we had Hughes spread way out on the outside shade of the left tackle.
I did. I actually did notice that. Not too sure why. I mean, but I did notice that.
I was kind of worried about it. I thought Atlanta may run the ball through the gap, but they chose not to run it. But it was kind of odd to me. But it worked. Hey, it worked. Can't say anything about it.
It was weird. I'm with you on that. It was just something where I'm watching and I'm like, are you inviting them to run through the middle? I mean, I'm not too sure why you're doing that, unless you're trying to create a little more separation for them to beat it, you know, to beat their guy one on one. But I mean, I don't know. It was weird to see, but it worked. Like you said, it worked, man.
Another big game from the safety tandem of Hyde and Poyer. But, you know, I want to explain something to people. Now, I know a lot of people were down on Jordan Poyer when we got him. Now, mind you, I watched a lot of Cleveland games last year before he went out with the lacerated spleen. And he's one person who stuck out to me. So when Buffalo signed him, I'm like, oh, okay, this is a nice sign. Now, at first, when it first came across my screen, you know, in the summer, I'm like, okay, we signed Jordan Poyer, you know. I'm like, well, it's a nice depth sign. He'll come in, he'll compete for a job. But then when I saw the money part, the contract you received, like, wait a second, this is not a competitive contract.
This is a you're the guy. Yeah.
So then when they signed Poyer and Hyde, and I'm thinking to myself, I say, I know what they're doing. They're gonna put it where they can put these guys everywhere. And what I mean by that is, essentially, you really have two natural cornerbacks. So both of these guys are actually natural cornerbacks. They're not safeties. But it allows you to blitz and be okay, comfortable with this guy's covering receivers or tight ends or putting them in the box running around. And today was another example of that.
Yeah. When you got guys back there who you can trust sticking man-to-man and who are intelligent enough to know how to play a zone well, then you can afford to do more with your offensive line. I'm sorry, with your defensive line and your linebackers. You can afford to blitz another guy out there if you want to, because of the fact that you have outstanding coverage in the backfield, which we have. And let me tell you, what these guys do very well is, if they know they can't make the interception, they play the ball. And they'll put a hand out and tip that ball up and let their guys make a play. Beautiful. It's like poetry. On that last drive, there were at least two balls that got tipped that were very close to being intercepted. I know Hyde almost caught one. I can't remember who it was who tipped it. I don't know if it was White or someone, but I know the ball got tipped in the air, and Micah Hyde was coming up right up to it and just missed it. It was just a little late. And that's what you want to see from your defensive backs and your secondaries. You want to see them active on the ball, not just a defender. And it's what we do. The defense is built to give up some plays but keep the guy in front of you. Always keep the ball right there in front of you so you can make a play on the guy. But with our secondaries, we can afford to make some plays on the ball, and they trust each other enough to, if I hit this and I bounce it up in the air, if I tip it, if I get a hand on it, I'm counting on one of y'all to be there. And it's been working for us so far, man. This is beautiful to watch. Beautiful.
Well, see, that's the big thing, too, about playing in cover three defense, is that you're keeping everything in front of you. And I actually want to speak on our defense and actually speak in the difference of Atlanta's defense as well and the nuances of each one. Now, we're playing cover three, which is allowing Matt Ryan to go underneath five yards, four yards.
Yeah.
And the hope is that, hey, we shut down the run and we bend, but we don't break in the passing game. Any mistakes they make, we capitalize on them, which the defense has been doing. So yeah, it's not going to be one of those defenses where we say, okay, we got tight flight corners, we're just going to man up, and we're going to rush the passer, and hopefully this guy doesn't have 3 or 4 yards, 3 to 4 seconds, I'm sorry, to pass the ball. It's not that type of defense. We're hoping that you run the ball on first down, we stop you for 2 yards. You pass it on second down, maybe we get you incomplete with a disguise or something like that. And the third down, you got 3rd and 8, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 5. You throw it short, we make the sure tackle. Because this is what these guys brought in. They brought in sure tacklers across the board. Because, Christ, how many games did we see last season where we were, especially against the Patriots alone, where it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 7, and the guy catches the ball at 4 yards and runs for 7 to 8.
Yeah, because he's breaking
tackles. It's not going to happen in this defense.
That was the biggest knock on Gilmore, was the fact that he was never willing to really throw his body in and make the tackle. Albeit, he was an excellent man-to-man corner. I don't care what anybody says. They talk about him getting burnt. That's not the case. A lot of the times he got burnt, he was playing, he was stuck in a zone. And he's expecting help over the top, and he's not a zone corner. That's a man-to-man corner. But, yeah, I mean, that's what we got, especially out of E.J. Gaines, and that's why they went up and got Tre'Davious White, why they picked him, you know, because these are guys who they know are going to buy into the system. They're going to be willing to throw their body around and make the tackle. And I'm happy, man. I couldn't be happier with the way we're playing.
So going forward, do you see us continuing this run?
Now, it's easy to fall into this trap, man. It's easy to sit here and get on board and love what we're seeing and say it's going to happen. I really wanted to see them do it against Denver and Atlanta, and they did it. And it shows me that Atlanta being one of the top offenses in the league, if not the top offense in the league, you know, depending on who you speak to, we shut them down, man. We had them at 10 points in the half. And they had to work for that last touchdown before the half. So I don't see any reason why we can't continue this. Again, the way I see us playing, I don't see any difference between what we do and what Seattle did on their championship run. I just don't. I don't see any reason why we can't be that. I don't. I mean, please, somebody come in and convince me otherwise. If you want to go at Tyrod, you know, then go at him. Or you want to go at Depp, then go at him. But, I mean, I just don't see why we can't. This is an experience. McDermott is a first-year coach, but this is an experienced coaching staff. This is a coaching staff that has been around the league for a long time and has came from winning programs. And very, very, very well-respected coaching trees. I trust what they're doing at this point in time. I see what they built. I understand what the goal is. And I'm fully in belief that McDermott wasn't bluffing when he was talking about winning now, winning later. People, don't forget, we got 2 first-rounds, 2 second-rounds, and 2 third-rounds coming up, too, to add to this team. I mean, we're in the right direction, man. We're in the right direction. This is where we need to be. I think we can contend. I think we can easily contend. If we keep going at this route, the Patriots lost, the Dolphins lost, the Jets, I don't know what the Jets are doing. They shouldn't be winning
won,
games, but they're winning.
Yeah,
they
won.
But I don't know why. I mean, dude, I guess they don't want their quarterback that bad, but hey.
Well,
whatever
see,
flows their boat,
like this,
man.
This is why I'm not – I am confident in this team, but I'm not jumping on the boat and saying playoffs yet.
Yeah.
I'm not. And for that reason, what you just said, like the Jets have won 2 games, okay? Things like that is why I'm not jumping on board yet.
Yeah.
Because it's early in the season. This is the first. This is the first quarter of the season. The first quarter is out. Mm-hmm. The Bills have. I give them an A grade for the first quarter, but cool. There's 3 more quarters to go.
Yeah. See, the good thing is that we're knocking
strong.
Out some of those hard games.
This is supposed to be Murderers Row. This was our Murderers Row schedule. We had Carolina, we had Denver, we had Atlanta, and we won 2 out of 3. I had us winning 1 out of 3 of those, possibly.
Exactly. We're
I had
winning
us at
the games that we're not supposed to win. Yeah.
Right. But now when we get to those division games later in the season, we got to win those games.
Yeah. Those are going to be big. Let me tell you, they will be huge coming down the line. We have to win against the Jets. We have to win against Miami. The Patriots, that's two games, but I mean, if we can win one, if we can take one from them with this defense, I would call it a successful divisional season. We really took care of the division.
Definitely. I definitely agree there. I want to speak on one thing that's really, really bothering me. Just really getting under my skin. Our number two running back spot. Let me explain something. Mike Tolbert, I love the Toe Dozer. I love him. Don't get me wrong. I've loved him his entire career. But please, for the God of us, he's not a number two running back. He's not a number two running back. Can we please stop it? You know what? When McCoy going out and he hurt, just think about this, okay? And I know we spoke about this on a previous show about him not being a number two running back. When McCoy went out with his hand injury, we had to put him in there. There is no East and West anymore. It's all North and South. And you really could stack the box, and it does nothing for us. He's not a number two running back. He's just not. He's a short yard. He's a great goal line back. He's great for the locker room. He's a leader. But he's not a number two running back. We have to go get a number two running back. If it was me, I would just go pluck Jonathan Williams back off Denver's practice squad.
Exactly. Why? Why would we do? There's so many times where I'm sitting here watching these games, and I'm just like, I don't see no reason why Jonathan Williams couldn't succeed in this team with this offensive line, this zone running scheme. I don't see it. I just don't. Why? Why did we let him go? I mean, obviously there must have been something there. I'm thinking more of it's an intangible thing. It might have been something Sean McDermott sat there and said, you know what, I don't think this guy is really with us. I don't think he has the right mindset to be on this team. Let's go ahead and let him go. That's just my opinion, because talent-wise, the talent was there. There's no
doubt
about
that. Well, what
I
read was that it's because he didn't play special teams, and that they want – and I know they've been on record saying they want versatile guys, which is why – one of the reasons that they brought in Joe Webb.
He was awesome.
Because Joe Webb is – I mean, you were talking about versatility. Joe Webb is probably one of the most versatile players in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, he may not be great at any one thing he does, but he's very versatile.
But he does everything. Yeah, he does everything.
Right. I mean,
man.
You don't see quarterbacks running out there as gunners.
Quarterback, wide receiver, special teams, you throw him anywhere, he can do it, man. That's not an easy thing to do in this league, man.
No, but when Shady got, and like you said, I think you said in a previous show that every time Shady gets hit, he kind of cringe, and I get the same feeling.
Oh, yeah.
I cringe. I'm like, come on, get up. You know, but it's even more scary now because we don't have a Gillislee. And when I know we're going to have to rely on Tolbert. When Tolbert went out today with an injury, and I'm like, oh, my God, you know, what are we going to do now?
What the hell
and
are
now
we
you're giving the
do?
Ball to Pat DeMarco.
Did we keep that one running back that we had in the preseason? Did we keep
Banyard.
Him, Joe Banyard?
Yeah. He's still on the roster.
I haven't seen him. At all. I haven't seen them give him anything. I don't know if it's just me. Anybody else has, please correct me, but I haven't really seen him involved, and I like what I saw from him in preseason. I don't know.
Yeah, no, he's still on the roster, and I do not believe that he was inactive.
I don't know why we're not seeing him. Just don't. Especially when Shady went out, I just wouldn't get the ball to Tolbert and say, that's my guy. That's the next guy up. I just wouldn't do it. He's been making plays. Again, we're not knocking him. He's been making plays. He does what he does. He's running strong and hard. That's great. But it's North and South. That's it. Just like you said, you can stack the box against that and not feel worried that he'll cut back and take it, you know, and just rush through the edge for the next 10, 20 yards. You know, it's just that's not what you're going to see from him. So I want to see something else. I would have loved to have seen Jonathan Williams on this team. I really would have.
Well, you know, like I said, we're winning, so I'm not gonna bring the negativity in. But it's just something that I noticed in the game when Tolbert's in there, and I'm like, you know, we do need to address this number two running back issue. Like I said, I love Tolbert. I love him as a player. I love his intangible. but he's a short yardage in goal line back. He's not a true number two back. And I think that going forward, it's a long season, we need to have that addressed, because I think going also we need to watch the mileage that's going to be on Shady as well. Other than that, offensively, very limited penalties, efficient game. The running game got going today, a lot better than what has been going the last couple of weeks. And the passing game, once again, efficient. And I'm going to have to attribute the efficiency of the passing game to the play-action rollout and keeping Tyrod moving.
Yeah.
He just looks more confident on the move.
Yeah. And what I've seen from him is the willingness to stop on the rollout, to wait for the guy to get open and sling it and take a hit. And that's what I love to see that from him, man. I love to see that. So often I'm used to seeing him continue to roll out instead of keeping the eyes downfield and watching the routes develop for these guys. And then he'll scramble out for a little 3-4 yard gain, you know, and it looks flashy, yeah, but sit there. When you're rolling out, don't just roll out to roll out. Roll out to buy time so you can give these guys time. And that's what he's been doing, man. And he's been finding Clay and Matthews and all of them. That rollout with Matthews was beautiful for the touchdown. That was just awesome. I was just waiting because they had the safety right over the top, too. And the corner was behind him. He ran all the way out, and Tyrod just waited. Beautiful protection from the line and hit him. And it was a beautiful thing to watch, man. I'm digging this offense.
There's room for
improvement.
Oh, definitely. I thought the ball he threw to Zay Jones that Zay couldn't control through the ground, the catch he dropped.
Yeah.
I thought that was also a beautiful throw.
Yeah, that's a play that Zay has to make. There's nothing Tyrod can do there. Zay has to make that catch. It just has to happen. And this coaching staff is going to be willing to wait and let this kid roll out of this funk. Again, this is an amazing route runner and possession receiver that we're talking about straight out of college. He's just extremely talented. They're going to wait for him. They understand this is a growing pain for him. So I expect him to get better. Again, Jordan Matthews needs to get healthy. I'm really hoping this isn't a lingering issue. I really hope this is something where he's going to be back next week healthy, because the Cincinnati game could very well be a trap game for us.
Yep.
It could be a situation where it's a game we're supposed to win and we don't. So we got to keep it moving.
And what about the Hauschka signing? I mean, how big is that pay?
Man, let me tell you, I love Hyde, I love Poyer, I love all these guys, but I love Jordan Matthews, but this has been the signing of the offseason, in my opinion. This has been the signing of the offseason. Too many times have we seen in Buffalo Dan Carpenter miss field goals that were pivotal, crucial. Extra points. We do not see that with Hauschka. He is money, and better, he's money from deep. So on these drives where Tyrod, you know, just can't move the ball or the offense just can't keep going, and he has to put – I couldn't believe he was kicking it one time from like the fifth – it was like 56 yards, I believe it was something. And I'm just like, I'm expecting the punter to come out. And I see Hauschka.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to do this. This is real. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just asking my girlfriend, please just tell me what happens. I don't want to look. Just tell me what happens. And she just gets up, oh, he made it. I'm like, oh, my Lord.
Because I'm thinking the same thing, man. I'm thinking I'm watching the punter, and I see him come out, and he's standing damn near by the Falcon emblem. I'm like, wait a minute. This is a couple-point game. Yeah, are we gonna give him field position if he misses this? I mean, when I say he banged it, I mean bang down the middle.
They hit, and
clean.
There was room too. He could have kicked it from 60, 61, 62, and then made it the way he kicked it. So it's like it's a beautiful sight to see, and it provides you with the insurance of knowing if it's in the 50-yard range, we're going to come out with at least 3 points. You know, we should at least come out with 3 points if we can't get it from the 50 yards, from 50 yards out, you know. I'm happy with it, man. It's a beautiful sight. Again, we all feel like it's something that should just happen. This kicking game is just so easy. It should be money. It's not, man. It's hard. That is hard to do. And with kickers, you only get two reactions. Either you love them or you hate them. You know, there is no in-between with them. So I'm very happy to see Steven Hauschka here kicking field goals for us. He's money. This is the kind of guy who late in the season, you're going to either love him or you're going to hate him. Because he could be money all these times, but he could miss a couple field goals that just loses some games, and then you're like, oh, my God, here we go again. Dan Carver 2.0. You know, so I'm hoping it continues. I'm hoping this isn't a hoax. I'm hoping he's – I saw on the TV they said he made like his nine consecutive punts from 50-plus yards in his career. It was like nine consecutive punts he's made from 50-plus. So I'm hoping this is something we can expect on a normal basis. But, again, it's not easy, man. That kicking game is not easy. So we'll see how that goes.
We talked about Tyrod, who was over 20 for 182 in the touchdowns, very efficient. We have McCoy for 20 for 76, which is a lot more efficient than it has been the last couple weeks. Tober with another 8 for 31. Tyrod Taylor for another 7 for 12. Clay with the big game for 5 for 112. We had, I think, High leading the tackles for 6 tackles. We had Preston Brown with 5 tackles. What is your take on Preston Brown this season? Because obviously we know this is a contract year for him.
Yeah. This is
how do you
it's
feel
weird.
He's played so far?
I feel like he's played fine. Again, people understand he's on a – this isn't his normal full-time starting gig. He's not going to get the numbers that we want to see all the time, but he's making the plays, he's plugging the gaps, he's doing all the little things that he's supposed to do. I've been fine with his play. I haven't seen much deterioration. I haven't seen too many misplays from him. He does exactly what he's asked to do. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to always overcompensate. You don't always have to over-succeed. If you do what you're supposed to do, you'll win games. And that's what he's doing. Same goes for Darius. Same goes for all these guys. They don't have to put up the amazing numbers. We don't have to have a ton of Pro Bowlers on our team. We have to have guys who are willing to buy in and do what they're asked to do and play their role. That goes for Tyrod. That goes for Clay. That goes for Shady. That goes for everyone on the defense. Just do your job. Like the Patriots say, just do your job and we'll win. And that's what we've been doing.
So this is the big question I'm going to ask you about Preston Brown. Okay?
Do we re-sign him?
Well, for me, it's about the amount. If he's going to be listed as one of the top linebackers on the market and you're looking at $7, $8 million per year, I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry. I like what he's doing.
I wouldn't.
I'm not paying that. And a lot of people are like, you're crazy. Our defense. No, I'm not paying that. I like I said, I like him. He's a good linebacker. I've been saying it for a long time. He's a decent linebacker. He does what he's supposed to do. But at the same time, I believe he's also limited at what he can do.
Yes.
And with two first-round picks, there's no way in hell I'm re-signing him to a top-tier deal. Now, if you're talking about, hey, maybe about $4 or $5 million per year, 5 years, $25 million, something around there, hey, I'm all in.
That's reasonable.
I'm cool because
we're going to have cap space next year as well.
Right.
If they got rid of Sammy Watkins, ladies and gentlemen, don't think for a second a bean is going to sit here and fall in love with Preston Brown. All right. We have a lot to work with next year. We're talking about 6 picks in the first 3 rounds. Ladies and gentlemen, he can be replaced. He can be replaced. And if you can save money and keep the cap space low, that's only going to help you out more because now you're getting quality players in the draft, and you're also able to make a big signing if you have to, if you have to. If McDermott and Bean love a guy and want to bring him in to plug a big hole in the system, they can do that because they have the cap room to do it. Because you're not spending, you're not overspending on guys. You know, again, it's win now, win later, sustained success. And that comes with a different mentality that we're not always used to. Buffalo fans are not used to this. This is new to us. It's like when you were in a bad relationship for a long time, and then you get with someone who's amazing, and you're just like, is this normal? Am I supposed to feel like this? Yeah, we're supposed to feel like this, ladies and gentlemen. We're supposed to feel like this. This is to be normal for us every year. And I feel like it will be. I do feel like it will. It's beautiful, man. I'm feeling it right now, man. I'm feeling myself right now.
And also, I want to speak on I saw Jarrell Worthy had another decent game, but the big fact that we want to talk about, we didn't have Marcell Darius left. And I thought there were some spots that we could use Darius, especially against the Denver running game. I watched Darius out there today. And he limped off once or twice, and that's how I'm come back. I saw him give maximum effort today, but I don't know if Darius is the same player he was. He may never be that same player. I don't think he will be. I don't see that fire, the passion. Now, I'm not too sure if it's just Buffalo, and I don't think it's Buffalo because we're winning. I think it's football in general in this guy. I don't see the passion anymore. I don't see the motor either.
It could very well be the situation where he has basically what Jay Cutler had, where it's just like this game is not enjoyable to me anymore. It's just I don't want to do this. You know,
it's a job.
He loves the money. I mean, anyone who works a job, we love payday, but we hate all the other days that lead up to it. You know, it's just it is a situation where he could very well just not be into it. I agree with you 100% because talent is there.
I want to talk about him for 1 second here. We don't have much time left.
Go ahead, man.
You know, I sympathize for players like Marcell Darius because he got this boatload of cash, which in my opinion he earned his money. Has he lived up to the money he received? No, but did he earn his money before he got it? Hell yes, he did. He did. He was if not the best, the second best defensive tackle in the NFL, and he earned his money. But I think between the death of his brother, the suspensions, because the suspensions didn't start coming until after the death of his brother. I'm thinking this guy found love of things outside of football. And it's like you say, it's just like we like regular people do. Like the common man. We go to work, if we don't like our job, we punch the clock. And we punch out and we get our paycheck every week and we go home. It's the same football players, but it's different. It's a huge paycheck. Yes, I get it. But you're going through off seasons where you're sitting at home for a month with the surgeries.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting cut open all the time. You're banged up all the time. You're in pain all the time.
You consistently got to eat right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a man who loves to eat. God damn it. I love to eat. But man, and these guys, even though they're in the off season, they still got to watch their figure. They still got to eat good things. They can't just go out and get McDonald's and go out at 2 a.m. and go make a stop somewhere and pick up a burrito or, you know, a big old plate of food. They can't do the things that we do because they have to maintain their body. They have to consistently be ready to go. You know, these are humans. I think in professional sports, we seem to forget that these guys are still human. They still like to do the same things we like to do. They still like to have a good time, enjoy their lives, spend time with their families. They have issues, just like we have issues. You know, I look at a situation just to get off football. I look at a situation like Isaiah Thomas in basketball. His sister died, and he still came into work and played good for the most part. You know, it's situations like that where it's like you got reminded, hey, these are normal guys, man. Yeah, they're professional athletes, but at the end of the day, they still take showers and put their clothes on the same way we do, probably just in a way bigger, nicer bathtub, you know, but they still do the same things we got to do. We got to look at them with that kind of perspective, you know. don't be so quick to harp on these guys. I hate when people go out and make personal judgments on these guys. Like, oh, he doesn't want to play, but he's getting paid all this money. He's doing hard. Oh, he's a bum. He's a piece of you know, stuff. You know, it's like, relax, man. Take it easy. Take it easy. We don't know these
guys. They're doing the same thing you're doing. I'm sorry that they're super talented at what they do and that they get paid a lot of money. But don't hate them because of the money they get paid. Show them love.
Exactly.
Like Keon said, they have problems just like the rest of us. Don't down them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? We tell our kids, hey, don't go to school and bully people. It's not right. Don't cyber bully people. It's not right. Well, when you talk about them and they don't get you your fantasy points or they're not living up to expectations, that's bullying. They're still human. Like, they're not barbaric. They're not barbaric gladiators that are out there for our entertainment.
Yeah. Like, Jeremy just beat me in fantasy today, man. He beat me in fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
I want
to
sit here and I want to call him a whole bunch of names, but I got to realize, man, he's a human being just like me. I just have to throw that
in. You know, Le'Veon Bell came through today for me, man.
Golly, boy. He sure did, man. But, yeah, man, these players are professional athletes, but they're just very talented human beings is all they are at the end of the day. They're still human beings. And you know how many times I go into work and I'm just not feeling it? I might have had an argument with my girlfriend or, you know, something happened with my family, and I'm just not feeling it. And I go into work and I'm slumping all day. I don't have customers sitting here calling me names. You know, it's that way. How would you feel if you just had an off day, you go into work, and now you got your boss sitting there in your face, calling you a piece of crap, saying you're worthless, you ain't worth the what we pay you, you're horrible. You would feel personal. You would feel like, hey, yo, come on, man. Like, what's up with you? That's how these players are, and they got to go through it to a way, way higher scope than what we do. I mean, they can't even get on social media without seeing some stuff, man.
Right.
God, they turn – imagine what their phones look like every day, you know, after a bad game. Imagine what Zay Jones' phones look like right now. You know, I take it easy on these guys, man.
They wear our jersey. They represent us. Let's love them. You know, let's show them love.
Exactly.
They're not doing well, let's show them support. That's all we're saying. But, hey, man, we got a couple about a minute left, so I want to go with you. I want you to pick your unsung hero for the day. Who's your hero for the day, man?
Steven Hauschka. Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. Steven Hauschka.
Steven Hauschka, it is for you.
Yeah, Hauschka, it is for you, man.
I'm
going to
go with my unsung hero of today. I'm going to go with Micah Hyde. I'm going with Micah Hyde.
Say dominant football.
So, I mean, and that's what he did. He played dominant football. He made plays. He put us in position to win the game. And that's what we signed him for.
Yeah.
That's my unsung hero. But, I mean, that's pretty much our time for the night, man. I mean, it's going to feel good tomorrow going to work and do everything everybody got to do. You know,
Victory Monday, baby.
Victory Monday. You know?
Yeah.
So everybody,
George didn't know what that
win.
Meant last week.
Exactly.
George didn't know what that meant last week.
Yeah, Chad, a little salty, but the unsportsmanlike conduct call, man. It was a helping hand.
We love you, Chad. We'll help you up always, Chad. We love you, man.
But that's our time, man. So I guess we'll catch you guys later in the week with the preview of the Bengals game.
Yes, sir. We definitely will.
I'm going to enjoy this. So, everybody, have a good night. And Keanu, man, enjoy this win. I catch you later this week, bro.
Appreciate you, brother. Everybody, have a good one, man. Thank you for being Bills fans. Thank you for being Angry Fanatics fans. Thank you for listening, man. We're going to come at you with some more, man. Appreciate y'all.
Everybody, have a good night.
Say dominant football, and here we are. Let's go home and do what we got to do. This is the hell. Take it on three. 1, 2, 3. Take it.
They wanted the show. We're going to put on a show, fight. Yeah, that's one thing we're going to do, fight.